Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
There's just something that resonates in your soul. You just know, man, God just said this. And so whatever that promise is, whatever that thing that just resonated in the very depths of your soul is that God has spoken to you, that's what we're talking about. Believe that. That's what faith does. Faith believes it.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian is continuing his study in the book of Romans. Join us as Pastor Brian begins in Romans chapter 4, verses 16 through 22, in a message titled, Living and Walking by Faith. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
Get your degree first, and then we can talk about Bible college later. And they discourage the child. I have seen this so many times, over and over again. I'm not against people going to college. If that's what God calls you to do, go. Go to university, get your master's degree, get your PhD. If God's calling you to do that, do that. But what happens is so often when God's calling somebody to do something a bit unconventional or something that's not quite what the parent planned for the child's life, then, you know, well, look, we got to really think about this. We got to reconsider this. Maybe we should get the kid over to the psychologist, see what's going on in his head, you know. Wants to just go out and trust God. You can't, what do you mean trust God, you know? You got to have an education. You got to get a career before you. This is how people think. When Cheryl and I were dating, it was a long time ago, she was going to a university to get her degree, and I had not the slightest inclination to ever go to a university for any reason. And, you know, we got together and we met and we were falling in love and feeling like God was calling us to get married and feeling like God was calling us into the ministry. And there were a lot of people in those days that pulled her aside and said, oh, honey, you know, I understand that you like this boy and all that, but, you know, you really need to, you know, you're in school, you got to get your education, you got to finish. And, you know, what kind of a job does he have anyway? How much money does he make? And, you know, is he going to get a haircut? Or what about that clunky car that he's driving around, you know? I'm exaggerating with some of that stuff. But, you know, that was kind of the idea behind a lot of that questioning. And I think, wow, what if we would have succumbed to that kind of pressure? What if we would have given in? We would have missed out on a whole world of glorious things God wanted to do in and through our lives. So, you need to be fully convinced, because the devil, other people, and even fellow Christians will sometimes try to undermine your faith. So we need to be fully convinced, as Abraham was. Now, what was he fully convinced of? He was fully convinced that what God promised, he was able to perform. Now, has God made you promises? Has God made you promises? I believe that God promises us things. I believe that God is actively working, or at least desiring to work in each one of our lives. I firmly believe, as I know many of you do, I believe that God has a call on every one of our lives. He has a specific plan and purpose for our lives. He has something that he has ordained for us to do with the life that he has given to us. Do you believe that yourself? Has God made you promises? Are you sure it was God? This is a very important point. Are you sure it was God? Now, I don't want to cast doubt into anybody's heart over whether or not God has spoken anything to you. But I want to say this, it's possible to be mistaken about things we think God has promised us. It is possible. So we have to realize that it's possible. And because it is possible, we have to do our best to make sure that we're not putting our confidence in a false promise. I remember years ago, a man came to me and he told me that God had called him to pack everything in, to get his family. They were going to move to another country. And he told me God had given him a vision that he was going to go and be instrumental in bringing this great awakening to this country. And he spoke of, you know, speaking in large cathedrals and all of this kind of stuff that he told me that God told him was going to happen. So he did that very thing. He packed everything up. He took his family. They moved to that country. They lived there for probably less than a year. Their marriage almost fell apart. It was a disaster. It was a nightmare. They ended up having to, of course, pack up and come back home and kind of regroup and figure out where do we go from here. So that kind of thing can happen. We have to be aware of that. So we have to ask ourselves the question, is what I am believing, is it really from the Lord? It is not a bad thing to review and reassess what you believe that God has spoken to you. It is a good thing to do. It is a wise thing to do. To go back over it. And of course, when there's a delay in the fulfillment, you're forced to sort of go back over and over again. I have to revisit this thing over and over again. Okay, why do I think this? Why do I believe this? Why do I feel this? Okay, let me go back to that moment in time, or let me go back to those series of events where God spoke to me. But that's a good thing to do. Don't be afraid to do that. Don't think that by doing that, you're showing a lack of faith. You know, some people criticize Gideon because he put a fleece out. You remember? The angel of the Lord appears to him and says, Gideon, go in this year's strength and you're going to conquer Midian. And Gideon's thinking, well, you know, you got the wrong guy. I mean, it can't really be me that you're talking about here. No, you're the man. I want you to go and do this. So Gideon says, well, can we have just a little test here? I just need a little bit of confirmation. And so, you know, the story puts out the fleece and God, if this is really you speaking to me, then let the ground be dry and the fleece be wet. Or let the fleece be dry and the ground be wet. And so sure enough, he gets up in the morning, the ground is wet, the fleece is dry. Wow. Great. Okay. Let's try one more. Some people say, no, that was a lack of faith. No, that was using your head. That was okay. Man, if you're going to go do something like that, you want to make as sure as you can. There's always going to be an element of faith. There's always going to be the necessity to take a step of faith. But God doesn't call us to take blind faith. He gives us evidences. He gives us words of encouragement. He gives us confirmation.
We'll return to Pastor Brian's message in just a moment. But first, we'd like to remind you that you can connect with Pastor Brian anytime through all forms of social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also visit our website, backtobasicsradio.com, where you can download a podcast of today's message or stream it for free. So take a moment and go to our website and be sure to sign up for Pastor Brian's weekly devotional. Now, let's continue with today's message.
So Gideon comes back and he says, okay, this time let the ground be dry and the fleece be wet. And sure enough, that was the case. But then a little later on, he even asked for one more. And, you know, the Lord gave it. The Lord didn't say, you know, Gideon, you lack faith. Just don't ask anymore for any more confirmation. When we're wanting to do God's will, and we believe that God has spoken to us, we want to, as much as we possibly can, we want to get confirmation that, yes, Lord, this is you. This is what you've told me. Because in some cases, the stuff is going to be, it's going to be so amazing that it's going to be hard to conceive of. It's going to be hard to believe. And Abraham is a case in point. Here's one man, as we've already pointed out, 100 years old, a wife who's 90, and God says, your descendants are going to be as numerous as the stars in the heaven and as the sand on the seashore. That sounded like the most impossible promise that could have ever been given. And so Abraham, as we walk through the details of his life, we find that he had his struggles. He didn't waver or stagger to the point that he threw away his faith. He continued to trust God, but he certainly had those moments where he was saying, Lord, now I thought you told me this, and if you told me that, then why is this happening this way? But like others, he was seeking out that confirmation from the Lord. So don't be afraid to do that. Go back. Make sure. Probably one of the hardest things I ever have done in my life. You know, it's funny because some of you know the story. Cheryl and I, at one point in time, we took our family and we moved to the United Kingdom and we started a church in London. And that was, it had its challenges, obviously, to just pack up and move and do all of that. And, you know, maybe it was hard a little bit, but I don't know. We were so excited about it, we didn't think about the difficulties. The hardest thing that I had to do was not move to England. The hardest thing I had to do was move back from England. That was the hardest decision to make for me. Because in some ways, it just didn't seem to make that much sense. We'd only been there a few years. The work was just getting started. The church was beginning to grow. And, you know, there we were with this beautiful thing that was happening. And, you know, then we start to sense that God's calling us back. And I'm just thinking, Lord, wait, you know, this just doesn't make that much sense. It's, you know, this is like a baby. And what about the baby? We don't want to leave the baby. That's how I felt. And, you know, going back to California, I mean, there's so much in California. There's so many great churches. There's so many great ministries. There's so many wonderful things. And, Lord, there's so little over here. And, you know, it was a big struggle for me. And so I had to keep going back to the Lord over and over again. Lord, are you sure? Is this really what you want us to do? And I remember finally getting to a point where I was sort of driving myself crazy with this decision. And I remember one night thinking, if I don't get a grip, I'm going to lose my mind over this. And I remember just saying again, Lord, okay, this is what I believe you're calling us to do. I had this going for me. It wasn't like I was trying to do it. It wasn't like I wanted to do it. So often people think, oh, you guys came back to California. Yeah, the sun, the beach, you know, all that cold stuff over there and all that. That was never a factor, never even crossed my mind. It was a sense that this is what God was saying that he wanted us to do. And so one night, what I finally did is I just did this. I said, okay, Lord, you know that, number one, I don't necessarily want to go. Number two, you know, Lord, that I want to do your will. That's what I want to do more than anything else. So this is what I settled on. If I'm making a mistake, I realize this. God is good. He's my Father. He loves me. If I'm making a mistake, but sincerely trying to do the right thing, what's God going to do? He's not going to hate me for it. He's not going to kill me. He's not going to judge me. He would just simply correct me. So I said, okay, Lord, if I'm making a mistake and I get back to California and that's not what your will is, and I suddenly realize it, then I'll just get on a plane and I'll come right back. And I had peace. I was able to rest. But as I said, I went through this. Is this what you're calling me to do, Lord? I needed more confirmation. And the funny thing was, every time I would kind of come up with a counter strategy, you know, it was like, okay, how about if we do it like this? The Lord would always come back with, no, this is what I have for you. So, all of that again to say, make sure as much as humanly possible, make sure that you're genuinely trusting in a promise that God has made. Make sure that this is something that God has spoken to you. And go through that process. Review it. Revisit it. Reassess it. Think it over. Ask the Lord, Lord, if I've got something wrong here, just show me. And, you know, at the end of the day, it comes down to just being absolutely honest and sincere before the Lord. Lord, I want to do your will. If I'm going in the wrong direction, then please, by all means, show me. I don't want to go in the wrong direction. If I'm hoping in the wrong thing, Lord, I don't want to hope in the wrong thing. And as we do that, then I think that we can have that kind of thing, that full convincing that Abraham had, that what God has promised, he is able to perform. So, again, I ask the question, has God made you promises? Maybe it's a promise about the return of a prodigal son or daughter. Maybe it's a promise about the salvation of a husband or a wife. Maybe it's the promise of deliverance from debt. Maybe it's the promise of the restoration of your health or the health of a loved one. Maybe it's the promise of love and marriage and children. Maybe it's the promise of fruitfulness and blessing in ministry. Maybe it's the promise of God using you in a greater way. I firmly believe, as I'm saying, that God gives us individual promises, specific promises that are just for us. Of course, he gives us all collectively lots of great and glorious promises, the promise of eternal life and all of the blessings in Christ. That belongs to us all collectively as God's people, and we, of course, benefit from it individually. But I do believe that as an individual person, God's going to speak things to me that he's not going to speak to you. And he's going to speak things to you that he's not going to speak to me. And he's going to do things with you that he's not doing with me and me and so on. And he's going to bring those words to you. And he's going to speak them to your heart when you're meditating on the scriptures. Or he's going to speak them to your heart through a message. Or he's going to speak it as someone just shares with you. Or, you know, there's so many ways that the Lord does it. But, you know, there's these things that come to us and they just, you know, it's hard to even explain it, but I think many of you know what I'm talking about. You just get a sense like, man, the Lord just spoke to me. There's just something that resonates in your soul. You just know, man, God just said this. And so whatever that promise is, whatever that thing that just resonated in the very depths of your soul is that God has spoken to you, that's what we're talking about. Believe that. That's what faith does. Faith believes it. The circumstances might mitigate against it. It might look like, well, no, how could that happen? It just doesn't seem logical. I can't understand it. But you know God's spoken. That's the thing. So, has God made you promises? Have those promises seemed to be delayed? Are there forces and things at work that seem to contradict all that you believe that God had promised? Have you begun to think that maybe it was all wishful hoping on your part? Are you perhaps wavering a bit at the promises of God? You see, as I said earlier, this is a common thing. Know this, you're not the only one that's waiting. There, it just seems almost universal that when God gives promises, he rarely fulfills them in an instant. I mean, he occasionally does. I'm not saying he doesn't at all. Of course, in some cases, he would need to do that with healings and things of that nature. But, you know, when you look at the pages of Scripture, I mean, think of Joseph. Joseph has these dreams that he's going to, you know, essentially has dreams that he's going to rule over his brothers. And he does eventually, doesn't he? When he becomes the prime minister of Egypt. But what happens in between? In those visions, he didn't see being sold into slavery. He didn't see Potiphar's house. He didn't see the prison experience. He didn't see any of that. He just saw the fulfillment of the promise, but there was a lot that was between the giving of the promise and the fulfilling of the promise. And of course, again, with Abraham, we have that same thing. You have that same thing with Moses. Moses sensed that there was a calling upon his life to deliver the people, but it would be 40 years later that it would begin to materialize. Or you think of David, who's anointed as the king, and there's clearly the sense of God's hand and call on his life, but between the anointing of Samuel and being crowned on the throne, there were all of those years of testing and trial and challenges and difficulty. So, sometimes there is a delay. Quite often, there is a delay. And it's during the delays, and as the forces are there seeming to contradict, this is when the temptation to falter in our faith comes. This is when we start to waver. This is when we begin to question and wonder, well, did God really say that to me? Listen, remember Abraham. He did not consider his own body or the deadness of Sarah's womb. And from this one man and him as good as dead were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. And it was all because he believed God. He hung on to the promise. Hang on to those promises. The promise God has given you for your kids that have wandered away, hang on to the promise. Believe the promise. Continue to give God the glory for what he's promised you to do, and he's going to fulfill that for what he's promised that he would do. And whatever those things might be, hold on to them, believe them. And here is that wonderful word from Habakkuk. We'll close with this. I've replaced the word vision with the word promise. The actual word is vision. The vision is yet for an appointed time, but I think we can legitimately put promise here. The promise is yet for an appointed time, though it tarries, though it's delayed, wait for it. Wait for it. Because it will surely come. It will surely come. God keeps his promises. And though they be delayed, seemingly, we think they're delayed, but they're not delayed. God's got the perfect time schedule. He's working out everything according to his perfect timing. We are by nature impatient, and by culture, we are extremely impatient. But God's not in a hurry. He's working things out. The promise is yet for an appointed time. Though it tarries, wait for it. It will surely come. God's going to fulfill those promises that he's made to you, to me, to all of his children. He's going to fulfill the bigger promises that he's made in his word concerning this planet, concerning the environment, concerning the nations, he's going to fulfill it all. We can trust him to do it.
For the month of November, Back to Basics Radio is offering the story of David and Goliath, a children's book and audio CD by the late Pastor Chuck Smith, the founder of the Calvary Chapel movement. It's never too early to start reading to your children timeless Bible stories taught by Chuck Smith. Listen and read along as Pastor Chuck unfolds the story of David and Goliath and allows kids to discover how God used David to defeat a big, scary giant named Goliath. See why David trusted the Lord with all his heart and won the battle for Israel, though the circumstances seemed impossible. Now you can use this book and CD to teach your children the godly lessons on how to trust in the Lord and to be used by Him. Imprint God's Word on their little hearts as you read and listen to this story over and over again. We encourage you to call us right now at 1-800-733-6443 or visit us online at backtobasicsradio.com to order this timeless Bible story as told by Pastor Chuck. For a donation of any size to Back to Basics, we will send you this month's book, David and Goliath. You'll find this book and all of our other resources waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll return tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Romans. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.